Chicago Casino Studios. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles. All right, it's time for the Metallica Song of the Day. So if you want to score the 2017 KLOS Metallica Dodge Charger and get tickets to go see Metallica at the Rose Bowl on July 29th, when you hear this song, be caller 25 at 800-955-5567. You'll get those tickets and you'll be in the running for the
new KLOS Metallica Dodge Charger.
That song would be Fuel. When you hear that, be the 25th caller.
Fuel.
Fuel. So when you hear it, between the hours or the half an hour. You'll have to listen to half an hour of the station to win this.
That's it.
Which half hour is that?
Between 1:30 and 2.
Ah.
Today.
Listen then.
They'll play that Metallica song in that half an hour, and then you can call in and win tickets. All right?
And that's a cool charger, by the way.
I'm more of a tease. I'd have been like, we're going to play it at some point today.
See how you are?
Before midnight, we're playing it. I don't know when. Have to listen. But I'm more of a tease. KLOS just
gives
it up.
You give us big blue Metallica balls. This is very premature Metallica of us. Between 1:30 and 2.
Yeah, they're just giving it up to you. Too easy.
There you go.
What the hell?
Make it easy for you. That's what we do here at KLOS. Yeah. We make it easy for you. All right. Christopher Titus, longtime friend of the show, is going to be performing at the Brea Improv this Friday through Saturday. Go see him live. For tickets, go to brea.improv.com. Let's get him in here.
It's Christopher. We haven't seen Christopher in a while. Christopher!
Hey!
Hey!
Handsome as ever.
Long time no see. Yeah. It's been a very long time.
Now he's back. It's been so long I've grown this out. I just got back from the island.
His volleyball's around here somewhere.
Oh, you're very hipster now. That's the most hipster I've ever seen. Dude, fucking
really? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Look at that.
I like it. That's
you ever grown a beard this
that
long?
That looks so good, it looks fake.
I know, huh? I go to a barber now because I can't even maintain this thing. I got somebody, a groomer. You know,
wow. You have a groomer.
Okay, wow. It just got really light in here.
Well, my lady says she wants me to shave it off, and I'm like, this is like putting a dog down now. It's like so big, I can't just shave.
It doesn't look like human hair. It's almost like the stuff on the end of a push broom now.
It does.
It's a weird wiry.
How do the women in your life like it?
Not so much.
Yeah. That's
all the women not in my life that like it.
Dudes are more like, all right, man, you look like a Spartan. Let's go kill some people. Let's get some straps across our nipples and go fight a war.
Compliments from men. They're like, wow, nice
and
beard.
And girls are like, get that.
A lot of guys can't grow beards.
That's scruffy.
Can you grow a beard, Christopher?
Cannot. I have one right now. This is what I have. This is 4 months right now. I have a cousin who actually just went over. He went overseas, and he's embedded with he's a very special ops guy.
Cool.
And they had to grow it for where he's going. He wouldn't, which you can't say. He had to grow a beard, and he's whiter than me. And he literally spent like a year nothing. He's got little tufts coming. It looks like he went through a bad chemo treatment on his face.
Oh,
so that's to blend in with the community.
Yeah, but he's
has
whiter than me. It's like that's why when people say a white Jesus, I always laugh. Really, in the Middle East, in the desert at that time, if Jesus had been born at that time and was my color, they'd have killed him a lot faster. the Bible would have been a pamphlet.
Christopher Tide is with us. I said you're performing at the Brea Improv Friday through Saturday, but it's Friday through Sunday.
Friday through Sunday. Yeah, new show, Amerigeddon. A change. It was America Really, and then as the presidency has continued, it's called Amerigeddon now because we're on the ragged edge. Holy crap. We're all going to be roaming the wasteland now, man. It's just we'd just be selfies out in the public. Hey, man, I'm out in the wasteland after the Trumpocalypse. Yeah. Just killed a drifter for 3 gallons of gas and half a possum. That's good eating. YOLO.
Because I see you on Twitter at Titus Nation that you will comment on Trump quite a bit. But do you get a lot of the haters and stuff?
Not anymore. You know, it's weird. When I started working on the show in December, like literally just you, everybody. People just screaming, and then I would sing "We Are the World" as they kicked him out. I would do that a lot, and then as it went on, it's just dropped off. Literally, just like people, even the people that are hardcore, are just like, yeah, you're right. And the problem is, I did the show and I wrote the show, and there's some hardcore stuff, and I go after everybody, and I even do a couple of Obama jokes because you know he gave Iraq back with $3 trillion, and can we leave Paul Blart somebody here? maybe a couple yard ladies from my high school, just like come on, give it all callback? So, and it's so weird because the liberals who've been laughing at the Trump stuff get tight at that joke, and I have to lecture them too. You know, that's what we lost in this country. We lost You know, it became because they run things. They, you know, the guys who have the thing under their chin. You know, Mitch McConnell. They all have that weird waddle. That I call it the Sith Lord flap. They all, that thing. And by the way, Mitch McConnell is my favorite Pelican character from Finding Nemo. Just want to point that out. But they and so we so the whole show. So here's what happened. So I wrote the show, and it was really hardcore going for Trump. And I don't check where I go anymore. Like, I just, you know, I go, like, the Wednesday before I leave, I go, where am I going? They go, Alabama. No. And I had this really hardcore, and I went to Alabama, and I got through Birmingham the first night, because I was actually reading it off papers, which I think that's what got me over. I think they were shocked. They were like, he's reading what says on the paper, and then he says it out loud. He's a warlock. and I wish I was only half joking. Then I went to Huntsville. Hey, can I tell you this? Where I went to Huntsville, Alabama to do this? I went to Huntsville, Alabama to break the show in, and Huntsville's the weirdest place I've been to because it's all rocket scientists and rednecks because all the space stuff is there. And you can meet people in Huntsville that are like, yeah, we figured out the orbit of Alpha Centauri for the next 1,500 years, and my mama makes a damn good cornbread. So I'm doing the show, and there's a dude in the audience. It's going okay, and there's one table that's just pissed. And they all look like they swamp boated in, man. They really do. They got weird, like your beard, except like 4 or 5 inches longer. Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard looking dude.
The Duck Dynasty fellas.
Yeah, that's what I kept calling him. I'm calling him Duck Dynasty. And everyone's laughing except for him, but I think it's because he thinks it's a compliment. Damn right I'm Duck Dynasty. The dude next to him is a big dude wearing a Trump jersey. It says 45 on the back and Trump across the shoulders. And their arms crossed, or they're just watching me pissed. And there's a joke I do in the show, and this is how comedy heals. I do a joke in the show. I said, one of the jokes is, we didn't want a vagina in the White House, so we voted for the other side of the taint, which is a damn good joke.
That is
good. Solid. It's solid.
That's good.
See, that compliment there? He didn't laugh. He went, wow, that's a good joke.
So
I do that joke, and this guy who's been pissed the whole show goes, huh! All right, damn it, that's funny. like comedy heals. Thank God. Yeah, comedy heals. So I had to break it in over there, and then I went to North Carolina and Texas, and what it made me do was really focus on the show and make sure that the show was... get everybody, because everybody's getting it. Even my uncle, who's like an ex-Navy SEAL, he voted for Trump and keeps Fox News on all the time, which, by the way, Fox News, has anyone seen a commercial on Fox for anybody younger than Rumpelstiltskin? I mean, the good news for me is I know where I can get a comfortable catheter. That's what I'm having. And that's on my leg. And a chair that'll go upstairs. It's a magical place, Fox News. And a tall bathtub that looks like half a porta potty. Yeah. Do you want to, when you're done bathing, do you want to sit in your own filth for another 5 minutes while it drains? Well, go over to this. You get out and you have a nice film on you.
Oh, God.
Slide right into your pajamas. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just. Anyway, so the show is all. It's about taking our country back from all the idiots that are running it. That's all.
Get back.
And
to
the movie comes out October 11th. Special Unit is coming out October 11th.
How long have we been talking about Special Unit coming out? Seriously.
Why keep bringing it up? I just feel like it's like my dad is in the room. Yeah, yeah. Finally got it done, loser. How long have you been working on that? Yeah.
Graduating college,
10 years, and we have another meeting with a distributor on Friday. But I just decided at one point, everyone's kind of afraid of it because there's handicapped people, and you know,
it's not PC.
But it's the right. Here's what pisses me off is that everybody has locked down to such a weird country right now. Like everyone is so pissed about something that doesn't matter. And now, so if you use real disabled actors, and my character is such a jerk in the movie, I'm calling him retard and stuff like that to make a point about it. You know, later on in the movie, and so people get mad at that. And then Alec Baldwin does a thing where he's a blind guy, and everybody flips out. Like you can't win for losing now. So to anybody who's gonna hate this movie, screw you. Yeah. There you go. Because you know, you can all suck it, and there you go.
What's the message behind the movie? Is there that feel good message where it's like,
I don't believe in that. I don't believe in actually doing a piece of Hallmark in the movie. My character's such a
there's no violins jerk. Up at some
no,
point.
No. My character's such a jerk, and he never stops being who he is up until they prove him. Like they save him from the bad guys. Like he's gonna get killed by these drug dealers. My character's so bad. He's like literally he's getting paid off by drug dealers. He's a bad guy.
All right, for Frosty, I don't think knows what Special Unit's all about. So as far as the audience, what is the plot line?
Due to the Fairness and Disabilities Act, the LAPD has to hire 4 handicapped undercover detectives, and I play Nick Nolte's mugshot. I play the worst cop.
Oh,
like the cop from 48 Hours times 10. He wrecks his car in front of the police station, and then he gets out, vomits, and he goes like he throws cops. He's out of control, and he gets this. They want to fire him, so he gets assigned these 4 handicapped undercover detectives who've passed all the tests, but no one would give them jobs. And he's got to train them to be cops, and he hates them. He gets shot by one of them. Ooh. He gets stabbed by the same guy later on in the movie.
And the handicaps that are represented, you have
cerebral palsy, autism, a little person, and a quadriplegic guy in a wheelchair. Tobias Forrest, he's really great. And it's weird. Here's how weird I got, because the whole point of the movie was to get people with disabilities, because people don't notice people with disabilities. They just don't notice them. You know what I mean? Like, the worst thing that people do is, like, a guy rolls towards your wheelchair, and instantly, instinctively, we turn away from them because our parents have said, since you're looking, don't look, don't stare, don't bother him. Well, so now they live in invisibility, so now nobody notices they exist. And so, if it just changes that much, it's fine. But it's actually balls out funny.
Were you part of the casting process when they were looking for people with all these things? Were they looking for actors who could play that, or actors who actually?
That was a whole point to not do that. We did not want to. The only one we did is we read a bunch of autistic guys for one of the roles, and they just couldn't. Some of the speeches were kind of long, and they couldn't do it. So we hired this guy named David Figlioli, who's an amazing actor, and he did a lot of study on autism before he took the role. But that's the only guy we used. And everybody else has. And we did an interview scene where we literally used. We had 22 disabled actors on set, and they all got to be funny. And that was the thing, is that, like, every time you put a disabled actor, Hollywood puts a disabled actor in, it's they're the sage Yoda in the wheelchair, or teach you a lesson, or they have a problem with sex, or and what we did, I just didn't treat them. My character's such a jerk. Anyway.
He's an equal opportunity. Like, he doesn't care. He actually, in a wheelchair.
At one point, he just gives him a lecture. He goes, you guys are supposed to be undercover detectives. If you can't deal with that, you know, go somewhere else and be differently abled. Because after a year on the force team with, you know, crackheads, murderers, and family law attorneys, a retard's going to feel like a warm hug from mama. And he's such a jerk. And they step up. And actually, at one point, you know, they step up and they take care of it, and then he stands up to the mayor for them, because at the end of the day, my character's like, if you did the job, I can't argue, you know, you're my crew, so there you go.
Have you discussed the plot with like the organizations, the groups, like the autism mothers and things like that, and said, hey, I'm doing this, this is what it's about? It's all good. Are you waiting to hear?
We had two things happen. We did the Richmond Film Festival, Richmond, Virginia, and we did a Q&A, and I got done with it, and there was a guy, and he was by himself, which is always weird. I think it's a little bit weird when people go to the movies by themselves, especially like a film festival movie. You know, it's like, I always think, like, are you planning to kill somebody?
I mean,
this is where you just work it out. This guy, we do a couple questions, and he goes, I just want you to know, I'm from a Special Olympics, and I came here to hate this. And 15 minutes in, I realized what you were doing. And it was cool, because no one's done it like this. No one's, you know, we've all seen the Hallmark movie where the poor little disabled people. I didn't treat them. These guys are badasses and
completely equal.
And there's a funny school shooting in the movie.
A funny school shooting.
Oh my god!
If anybody can do it, Christopher Titus can do it.
It does feel like a triple backflip. It really does. It feels like Titus is going to try this. We don't know if it's going to work. Yeah, I've pulled it off in rehearsal, but we did it, and they basically what happens is they get an assignment. They've been complaining about assignment. The ACLU's after them, and so the mayor finally, the police and the mayor says, okay, you guys get an assignment, and they have to go speak at schools. And it's horrible, because I'm wearing this big cartoon badge, and we're up there, and then a drunk father comes in looking for his kids, and they take him out. It's great.
Mm. Okay, was there anything, I mean, like, in the effort to push the line and the limit? I never think that.
I don't sit down and go, oh, let me
see. Well, you might not have a line, but you know there's other people's lines, and you're like, I know this is jumping across, and usually we, like, even here every day, like, we'll jump across, and we'll jump
You just
right
said
back.
Someone fart out their birthday cake, dude. You have no problem.
I have no problem.
You and I think you and I had our filters removed a lot. long time ago.
Yeah.
Like you have people around you that are like, whoa, yeah. But that's about it. But you have outside filters. You and I don't have internal filters.
Yeah, as far as filters, yeah, my pool has frogs and everything in it.
Exactly.
I know other people's pools are clean.
You are a petri dish of just everything.
Now, Chris, does anything not make it, though? Because it was like, okay, people can't handle that. I can, you can, but they can't.
There's two things in the movie that, and it's weird, it's not the reasons you think. There's two things in the movie that I've actually argued with everybody about because I was going to pull them, and they were like, no, you can't pull them. And there's two things in the movie. We shot at this club over in Off Western, and it was a bathroom scene, and it was the weirdest. The bathroom, when you see it in the movie, you're going to go, that's not real. The toilet and the urinal are literally that far apart, and between that, there's a piece of like wood, and it's like this, but it's only this deep. and the sink, I'm sitting in the toilet, and the sink is right in front of me. It's right here, like you could literally poop and wash your hands at the same time, which, by the way, is phenomenal.
Yes, that is a good idea.
So there's a scene, and it's so, and then I'm on the toilet talking to Morgan, who plays the guy with CP, who's actually got CP. Michael Ronan, very funny, and we're doing this scene, and it's just a little bit Seth Rogen-y, it's over the top a little bit, and we did Foley work on there's a noise in while I'm on the toilet that we had to actually Foley the noise. We actually went in and
the human body physically can't do it.
Excuse me. God, I should have had some beef before we got here. If I knew we were going to film this now.
It's not my birthday. I'm saving it.
I would have had ribs. so it's one of those things that I was going to pull it, you know, because it's a little lowbrow for me. And then people were like, no! And one person said that's my favorite scene in the movie, and I'm not friends with them anymore. I said, now, well, you were out. That's your favorite scene.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't trust your judgment anymore.
Christopher Titus with us. Going to be performing at the Brea Improv this Friday through Sunday. For tickets, go to brea.improv.com, at Titus Nation on Twitter. You're getting ready to ask him something, Heidi?
Well, I think the last time you had come in, you said you had the script, you were really proud of it, and then you sort of handed it off to somebody you trust and thought...
No. Peter Farrelly called me. Peter, who I don't know, called me, and he actually asked me if he could give me notes. And I hate the problem with show business for me right now, and that's why we're going to film a pilot called Devil's Music coming up that my own company's doing. We're just doing it on our own because I'm tired of people who've never written a joke or never been on TV or never done a TV show telling me what's funny. I've been doing this since I was 19, so I'm becoming an older guy now. I got it.
Right,
and,
right.
And I'm also really arrogant. So, but self-aware, yeah. Which is really good of me. You know, mm-hmm. Being how great is that I'm self-aware and arrogant. So,
you love you.
I love me. By the way, I took some selfies of me that I'm going to send to you so you can hit button and like me.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you realize that we're psychopaths? We're society of psychopaths. Now we do that. Now, did you get that picture of me that it took of me? Yeah, please make sure you look at me, okay? If you don't like that picture of me, I'll send you another picture of me that I'll take of me. Just make sure you like
so
me.
True.
Are you following me? Because I have followers like Jesus.
Yeah.
So who does that? Psychopaths. That's who does that. So Peter Farrelly just texts me and he said, just out of the blue, because Jackie Flynn, who's in the movie, Jackie Flynn's very funny in the movie. He's my partner who I shoot in the first 4 minutes. Peter Farrelly goes, can you send me the script? Farrelly brothers are the only ones that put like disabled actors in the movies all the time. Like Hollywood talks about it, but they really do it. And he's a great, nicest guy in the world. And so I sent him the script and he goes, I think I told you guys this before. He says, can I give you notes? And I was like, Peter Farrelly, of course.
Yes.
I'm going to listen to some executive that just got some 25-year-old executive just got out of Harvard. I'm not going to listen to Peter Farrelly. I'm listening to. He basically gave me one note, one of his notes. He gave me a bunch of notes, but one of his notes literally destroyed about 80 pages of the script.
Oh.
He literally pulled a thread that ruined the whole thing. And I remember sitting on the phone, and it was like, my instinct from the years is to just go, shut up! But it was Peter Farrelly. So I said, okay. And I hung up the phone. I just sat there staring at the script, and I realized that. Here's what he did. basically, I wanted to cast as many disabled people in the movie as possible. So I had little disabled bad guys, and everybody was disabled. I was like the only, like everybody was disabled. There was like this ring of disabled people that were using it against them to take over L.A. And it was a lot more Austin Powers. And then he goes, are you trying to show that disabled people can take down criminals and they're as good as able-bodied people? And I said, yes. And he goes, then how come they can only take down disabled criminals? How come they can't take down real criminals? And I remember my anus just squinched shut. I was like, oh no, you've just basically ruined my script now. Yeah. He did. But he was right, though. Yeah. It was one of those things where I sat there and I was like, he's absolutely right. How did I not see that? So I want to know that we would have a lot more disabled actors in the movie, but Peter Farrelly ruined that.
Blame Peter Farrelly. Special unit.
So, but he also, and he's how cool he is. I asked him, I go, well, you guys, do you want to be a producer on the movie? Now you've helped me. Do you want a credit? And he goes, no. The script that I read, we tried to get this right with The Ringer, and we didn't. And he said that you are really close to getting this right, and I want to make sure you do. So just the nicest guy.
Yeah, and that was about Johnny Knoxville Special Olympics. Was that The Ringer?
Yeah. Yeah. And he said that they got a lot of blowback from that. A lot of blowback from that. And we're going to get blowback from this movie. I'm not worried about it. But we did film the interviews yesterday with all disabled actors. And the only people we're getting blowback from are people that think they represent disabled actors or just and they're not disabled. It's undisabled people that are
like, that's who you want to get upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always what happens.
But it's funny. October 11th, it's going to be on iTunes and on Premium VOD. It's really Billy Gardell is so funny
we
in this.
Him.
Billy Gardell is so funny in this movie. I've edited it. We've edited it like 50 times now, and every time Billy Gardell's on, I just laugh my ass off time.
Yeah. He really is.
4 seconds from aneurysm, the whole movie. He's just, he hates my character so much that. And we've worked together. We did yesterday and stuff together. Billy and I are really funny together, but man, is he over the top. It's crazy funny.
Can I ask you a question on one of your previous projects?
Sure.
I think the last time I talked to you was when Titus was on.
Yeah, so
that's going back a decade and a half.
Wow.
I thought the show did really well. I enjoyed it. It was doing great. It was promoted everywhere. Elson ended, and I read somewhere that it ended because there was a problem between you and the neck executives.
Yeah, let's rehash this again. Sure. Yeah. Here's one.
And then I heard it might come back, and it didn't come back. Did that end?
We had two ideas. We were gonna redo it because I ended up in this TV show. I ended up in a mental hospital because if you guys remember, Titus, we didn't have any like this. Like when people go, Titus, man, you just go out, you all go on a limb. No, that's just what's funny to me. So after 9/11, we did a three-part terrorist episode where basically, my mom had died. We got on a plane. I start flipping on an airplane. Everyone, all the other characters doing their things. They think that we're terrorists. We get arrested. The next episode with the FBI. And then at the end of that episode, they say, listen, your family's going to jail. And they go, we realize you guys are just idiots. But someone's going down for this. And so everybody's going to do time. And I'm like, no. I'll do it. And they say, you can go to jail or a mental institution. I was like, well, my mom was in a mental institution. And I end up, the last scene of the show, I end up in a mental institution. And that's where we ended it. And because we had three presidents. Okay, I'll tell this story. This is the last time I'm telling this freaking story.
Okay, you got it. Just for the last time.
It's the last time because I'm an idiot. And by the way, I think maybe people make me tell this story again so the next time this happens, I don't do this. I was at a meeting. We had the third network president in 3 years. We had Doug Herzog was great. Sandy Grushaw was fine. Then we had a new network president, and she came in and wanted to change the show. Every time you get some new executive, they want to pee on your project.
Oh, I know.
They do. They just go come in and go, hey, let me change. You guys have been doing radio for 1,000 years,
yeah,
and it's going well, and you're like the best. Here, I have an idea. Right when you hear that, I just got every orifice clamped shut. I'm like, I don't, no. So they came in, and she goes, I want you to change the show. I want you to have them cheat on each other and have a love triangle, which we did episode 4. We're now 3 years in. And then Darman and Greg had been doing that. And that's what happened. Darman and Greg's ratings went up because they had a love triangle. But I told, but here's what happens when you screw up, you got to follow rules in your show. If you don't follow rules of the character, so Darman and Greg's cheat on each other. The next year, the show was over. It was over. They cheated on each other, and the audience was like, "Sorry, not my friends anymore." So the network president very calmly says, "I want you to split Titus and Aaron up and have a love triangle." And We're at a table with 40 people on Fox. Because when something's successful, everybody goes to the meeting.
Yeah.
When something's not successful, it's you and an assistant. That's how it works, man. So we had 40 people, big giant thing, top floor Fox. And the network president said, I want you to change the show and do this. And I looked at the network president in front of everybody. And I said, I didn't swear at her. I just said, do you even watch the show? Because let me explain to you how this works. And then for the next 4 minutes, I explained to the television, to the network president, as if she was a four-year-old. So there you go. Yeah. And it turns out if you tell your boss they're stupid long enough, they will fire you.
I know. My tongue has turned into bubble gum.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I can almost blow complete bubbles with my tongue now.
I just chewed on the side of it. Everybody who hears that story, Christopher, is like, yes, because I got goosebumps while you were saying that.
Oh, man. Now what I do in a meeting, I take a pen and I just stick it in my hand. And I talk and I just, under the table, I just put it through my hand.
That's a valuable lesson.
The network turned me into a cutter. Let's just say that.
Christopher Titus performing at the Brea Improv this Friday through Sunday. Go see him. Tickets, brea.improv.com, at Titus Nation on Twitter. Thank you so much,
guys. One of my favorite places to be. Thank you so much. I'm so as worried about you guys. I come in and I worry. God, I hope I don't stop being funny. You guys are so funny. Like, I listen. Sometimes I'm irritated. I'm in the other room listening, the waiting room, and you're being funny. And literally, do they fart out the birthday cake? I was like, wow.
I'm gonna be okay today.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like with something like that. I go, you guys got me. The wind beneath my wings, people. The wind beneath my wings.
Chris Titus. All right, Lisa. What's going on, traffic?
We've got a signaler working on the 60 freeway. This update is brought to you by State of